Being a principal of a school, I often have children come into my office. I enjoy when they come in because it's their birthday. Maybe they'll give me a nice slice of cake, and we'll be able to sing to them because they're so happy. But very often, children come into my office in order to become disciplined. Perhaps they were talking in class, they did something which they weren't supposed to, maybe not even doing their homework. And I will go through all different questions, asking them what they did wrong, and how they, perhaps in the future, can change their ways so as not to do what they did today again. And very often children will respond and say, "I was bad." And I will never allow that child to get away with that statement. I will always say to the child, "You are not bad. Perhaps sometimes you may not make the right choices, but you're a good child. You're a good boy. You're a good girl." And I believe this message is a very important message in chinuch, in education, and it's something which we find by Yitzchak Avinu in this week's parsha. It's very fascinating, the story of a father and a son. How much Yitzchak loves his son Esav. And one could wonder why. What does he love? What does he find special in Esav? The Torah tells us, "Ki sayid b'fiv," because he was a hunter. He was a wild and violent man who was able to go out into the forest to be able to come back with some dinner. Now, can you imagine any Jewish parent? You send your kid to a yeshiva, to a Jewish community day school, perhaps a seminary, and they go to college and to grad school and they come back and they sit down and you ask them, "So, my son, my daughter, my love, what do you want to be after all this education? What do you want to do with your life?" And they look at you square in the eyes and they say, "You know what, Dad? I want to live in a forest and I want to hunt animals for a living." No parents would be happy about that. Perhaps you'd have to pick up the father or the mother from the floor after passing out. But certainly it's not something to rejoice. So how could Yitzchak be happy and love his son for this choice of Kisai B'Fiv of wanting to be a hunter? We know that throughout the story, Parshas Toldos, Yitzchak really wanted to give the bracha of the future of Klal Yisrael, not to Yaakov, but to Esav. But one has to ask, why? Yaakov seems to be the obvious slam dunk choice. He was a good boy. He was a boy who was Yoshev Ohalim, who sat in tents, an Ishtam, a perfect man. A spiritual person. Why would he want Esav? If you would ask any person that knows the characters, the characteristic of Yaakov and the characteristic of Esav, perhaps every single person you would ask would obviously say that Yaakov, of course, is the right choice. So how could Yitzchak, a man who we call Yitzchak Avinu, one of the greatest men who ever walked the face of this earth, how could he possibly have been so short-sighted to have possibly looked at Esav in better eyes, in a better way, than the great Yaakov Avinu? I believe that Yitzchak, who is Yitzchak Avinu, is teaching us a fundamental lesson of what it means to be Avinu, what it means to be a father, what it means to be a parent. And when we look at Yitzchak and the way that he acted with his children, perhaps this is a lesson that we must model, that we also need to be like with our children as well. You see, Yitzchak definitely understood that Esav had flaws. Yitzchak looked at his child and he realized that in fact he did things which were not okay. So much so that the Torah tells us that Yitzchak knew he never said Hashem's name. He was not polite. He never said please. He suspected his child of being a thief and also of producing non-kosher foods. Yitzchak knew his son's flaws. But there was something different about Yitzchak in the way that he looked at his child and the way that everyone else looked at Esav. Yitzchak believed in his children. Others looked at Esav and said, "He's a lost cause. He's a child at risk. Just write him off. Forget about him. You still have a great son. You have Yaakov. Forget about this other kid. This Russia. This wicked child. This Esav. But Yitzchak looked at his son. He looked at Esav and said, this boy has potential. I could perhaps teach my son the proper way of behaving and being able to cultivate within him more spirituality, a more religious slant toward life. And then he, not Yaakov, will be more suitable to teach the world about faith and religion. Because after all, Esav, who was an Esaiad, it means he was a worldly man. A man who could go out with street smarts. Someone who had the ability to talk. He was even a very good man with his words. He was able to speak in a very cunning manner. This is a man with a little bit of spirituality will be the perfect leader. Yaakov, he's an introvert. He stays at home. He's Yoshev Ohalim. He's too passive to be able to teach the entire world about Torah and Mitzvot. And therefore, when I choose a child, I must choose Esav. But when I choose Esav, I'm not asking him to suppress his desires. Because Hashem gave him these abilities, these strengths. But what he needs to do is to channel them in the proper way in serving God. And therefore, when Yitzchak told him to get the delicacies for him to eat before the bracha, he said, make sure that this animal is shechted properly. Make sure it's not stolen. Some explain this was even the Korban Pesach. Because he was saying, I want you to use your abilities. I want you to use those inbred tendencies, perhaps of violence. But I want you to channel those emotions for something spiritual. And then you, in fact, will deserve the bracha. You will be the child that will be able to continue in my beliefs. This was the greatness of Yitzchak. He trusted and believed in the future, the potential of a child. The rest of the world, when they looked at him, when they looked at this boy, they wrote him off immediately. As the Torah says, Vayikra Shmo Esav, they called him Esav. Esav also means Asu was made. As Rashi says, HaKol Karlo Kain, V'hi Shohaya Nasav Nigmar. This boy was complete. Not just physically complete, but his characteristics, his nature about him, is something which will never change. He has no potential. He has no future. But Esav tried to teach his own father that you shouldn't look at who I am now and judge me based on the negative perspective of the world about me, but rather look at my future. As the Torah tells us, Ki Yisai B'Fiv, that he would speak to his father in a very deceptive manner, that he would even ask intricate halachic questions and say, Abba, Father, Hech Masur Nes HaMelech L'Sateven, how do you tithe, give miser from salt and from straw? And when his father heard this, he was so impressed. And the Mefarshim asked, how is this impressive? Anyone who knows anything about the laws of miser, no, of course you don't tithe salt. You don't tithe straw. It's similar to a person who would go up to their rabbi in Shabbos who's trying to impress him, which you know has never stepped foot in shul for years, and say, Rabbi, gee, what point of the service do I take my phylacteries, my tefillin off my head on Shabbos? So the rabbi will look at him and say, Nebuch, this guy still thinks you wear tefillin on Shabbos. Everyone knows you don't do that. So how is this impressive that Esav asked a question about Meiser, which clearly shows he knows nothing about halacha, knows nothing about Jewish law. And some explain beautifully that what Esav was trying to show his father was as follows. He said, Dad, look at salt. Look at straw. In itself, if you look at it the way it is right now, it has no value, has no purpose, has no tremendous meaning. However, if you would take that salt and you would add it to soup, that very bland, tasteless soup will have tremendous value by the potential that that salt could eventually affect other things. So too straw. In itself, it's nothing. It's merely fodder for animals. However, if you're able to mix it up with other components, as we find in the story of the Jewish people who were enslaved in Egypt, You can take straw and make bricks, and with bricks you can make a huge palace, huge homes. And therefore Asa was telling his father, don't allow yourself, dad, to look at your child, to look at me as a worthless person, but look at my potential. Look at the influence that I can cause. Just like salt, I'm able to go out and put myself out there, and I'll be able to enhance the entire world. Don't look at me, who I am now. Look at my potential. And Yitzchak was so impressed, and he said, yes, son, I will not judge you as you are today, but I will look at you as who you can be tomorrow. The question still we can ask, who's right? Was Esav born wicked? Was he a Russia from birth in utero with no possibility to improve? Or was Esav capable, even an Esav, to change, to be a Baal Tshuva? And the answer is in the story of the lentil soup. The Torah tells us that Yaakov was busy making soup for his father because he was an avelus, because Avraham Avinu had passed away. And the Torah tells us that Esav came from the field and he was exhausted, buayef, and he said to Yaakov, "Halitani namin ha'adam ha'adam," and said, give me some of that red stuff. Give me that stuff that's red, that red lentil soup. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm hungry. And then the Torah adds a little sidebar. Al-Kain Karishma Edom. Therefore his name is Edom Red. Asks the Kli Yakar, what does this mean? That now, as a teenager, when he wants to eat some red food, that's the reason why he's called Edom? How about the fact when he was born from head to toe. He was red. He was red skin, red hair. He was completely Edom. Asks the Kli Yakar, why are we only calling him Edom now? As an adolescent, as a teenager, why aren't we calling him Edom from the moment that he was born? And perhaps to answer the Kli Yakar, that since, even though Esav in fact was born red, which represents blood and violence, with violent tendencies, he wasn't yet deemed as an evil person. Because he had the ability to take that potential, that violence within him, but to use it constructively, similar to David HaMelech, that he was able to take those emotions and be able to serve God with them. However, at this moment, when he turned to his brother and he said, I do not want spirituality. I'm not interested in it. I'm selling you my firstborn rights. I don't want to be the Bechor. I don't want any attachment to spirituality. Then, and only then, he became Edom. He became red, a violent man, a man who indeed is now, and not before, but only now, is a Russia. This further explains a very difficult Bereishis Rabba. The Torah says, V'yigdol hanarim, the children, Yaakov and Esav, grew up. And it says that Esav became a man, a hunter. Says Rashi, that kol zman shehayu katanim, as long as these boys were little kids, before they reached the age of adolescence of being a teenager, lo hoya nikarim b'maseihem, no one recognized by their actions, v'ein adam medakdik b'hem mativam, no one could look at them and say, this is what their outcome will be. Kivan shenasu b'nei yud gimel, but once they became teenagers, zepirish lebeis medrash, v'zepirish leavodah zarah, it was at that moment, and only that moment, we saw their actions, that Yaakov was a Torah scholar, and Esav was a man who had been Ovid Avodah Zarah, an idol worshipper. And you can ask, what does this mean? The Torah told us at the beginning of the Parsha, V'yisrotesu Abana Mekirba, that every time Rivka would pass the house of Avodah Zarah, Esav would be kicking so hard to try to get out. So we see that even in utero, Esav wished to serve idols. Esav was born as a Rasha. But the message that Avraham Avinu was able to live up until this point, Avraham Avinu, who did not want to see Esav become a Rasha. What do you mean? He apparently was not a Rasha until this moment. Only when he became a teenager, only when he sold the rights of the firstborn, only at that moment did he become wicked. And that's the only time Avraham Avinu was asked to have left this world. But since Avraham, very much like his son Yitzchak, they did not view Esav at the moment of birth as a toddler, an infant, as a child, as a Rasha. Rather, they looked at this boy who perhaps had tendencies which were prone to violence. The child was a boy who in fact would do certain sins. But they did not look at that child as a Rasha. They looked at Esav and said, perhaps with the right influences, this child could one day become a good leader, a powerful leader, a spiritual leader. And this is the message that Yitzchak is teaching us. That we know that children, all children, make mistakes. Even ourselves, no one's perfect. But when that child comes into my office and I ask them why you did it, if the child turns to me and says, I have to tell you, Rabbi, after all, I'm a bad boy. I'm a terrible girl. I will not allow that to happen. I will not allow them to believe that. Rather, I will turn to them and say, it's wrong. You're not bad. You're not an evil person. It's just that what you did was wrong. But you yourself, you're not bad. You're good. But it's necessary to develop a certain amount of faith. Faith within our children, our grandchildren. And let them take those born-given talents and have them use those talents to make the world a better place. And God forbid never to take that and to suppress it, to not allow them to utilize the abilities, their God-given gifts. When a person is able to do so, to be able to channel everything that they have, in fact, that person will be able to then reach their potential. And perhaps, just like Yitzchak Avinu, we ourselves can call ourselves fathers, good parents with good parenting skills.